Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are continuing our study in Romans chapter 1. I'd like to finish up a few final comments on verse 16 today, and then perhaps, time permitting, move on into verse 17. And this is Monday, December 6th, and it's time for me to mention our Sermon of the Month number 12, our way of encouraging people to write and let us know where you're hearing this broadcast. The Sermon of the Month number 12 is a Beacon Pulpit Bible study entitled Fulfilling the Law Through Love. That's a very important topic, very important area for our understanding properly. How is it? In what way do we fulfill the law through love? We need to understand that, and this will help you, and we'll send it to you if you will write and tell us the call letters of this station. Write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, or email us at beacon@netpath.net. Give us your name, return address, the call letters of this station, and mention that you would like Sermon of the Month number 12. Now back to Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And it's that last phrase that we are continuing to focus upon in the broadcast today. What is involved in this phrase, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek? What does that mean? How does it apply to us today? And as I have pointed out to you on previous broadcasts, this has to do with historical priority. And there can be no question that for hundreds of years, the Jews, the nation of Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had privilege and priority and the attention and blessing of God like no other people on the face of the earth. Nobody, surely, would question or dispute that statement. Not if you read the Bible, not if you believe the Bible. And that historical priority continued on even in this New Testament era until the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. That was the great transition point. When Christ came, he told the Jews of his day that if they would not repent and believe in him, that they must face severe judgment. He told them that the day of their privilege was coming quickly to an end. Remember what Christ said to the woman at the well in Samaria, as recorded in John chapter 4? She was arguing about which was the right religion, which was the right place to worship. The Jews actually claimed to worship the same God, the Samaritans claimed to worship the same God as the Jews, but they had altered a number of the requirements and aspects of the Jewish religion in order to make it convenient and palatable for the Samaritan people. They certainly weren't going to require themselves to go to Jerusalem in order to bring sacrifices and be represented by the Jewish priesthood before Jehovah God, and so they built their own temple on Mount Gerizim, a temple that rivaled the temple which was built in Jerusalem. And they carried out their religious practices there, religious practices which in many ways were similar to the Jewish practices and which purported to worship the Jewish God, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which they considered to be their God. But they worshipped him in a different way. So the woman tried to start an argument. Christ was getting too uncomfortably close to her sin. And so she, I think, wanted to divert attention away from herself. And so she said, where is the right place to worship God? Your people say that he must be worshipped in Jerusalem, on Mount Zion. Our people say that he must be worshipped on Mount Gerizim. Let's argue about this. Jesus refused to be drawn into the argument. He said, woman, the time is coming, and now is, when they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship him. Well, I'm thinking about that part of the phrase that says the time is coming and now is. Which is it? Is it coming? Or is it now here? Well, it is both. In other words, the time is coming is not going to be on one particular day. It's going to be a period of time. But when Christ came, the transition had begun. When Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, the transition was complete. That's what I take that to mean. With the coming of Christ, the transition was begun. What transition? The transition from a Jewish religion to a worldwide religion. The Jews had been the favored people of God. Or another way of putting it is the transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. The Old Covenant, which is the Mosaic Covenant, was a covenant that pertained to the Jewish nation and their privileged position in the plan of God. But when Christ came and when he died on the cross and shed his blood, what did he do? With the shedding of his blood, he inaugurated the new covenant. And he brought that new covenant to pass, and that new covenant includes people from every tongue and tribe and nation. I don't have the time to go back into the Old Testament scriptures and show you exactly where that was prophesied. But I can refer to one that you will immediately recognize, and that is the promise of God to Abraham that through him, through his seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And when Christ shed his blood, he ratified and in many respects fulfilled the promise that God made to Abraham. Now, the blessings promised to Abraham are going out to all the peoples of the world. But the Jewish advantage, in a sense, would still remain until the destruction of Jerusalem. In other words, there would still be some level of Jewish priority. It is already slipping away. The gospel has begun to go out to the Gentiles. God's spiritual blessings are not restricted totally to the nation of Israel anymore. Already, the new covenant blessings are making their way out to the ends of the earth like they were supposed to, but there's still this transition period, and it's described for us here in our text in Romans 1:16, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The Jews are still enjoying a certain level of priority, but the transition has already begun, and their priority is quickly coming to an end. They still enjoy the priority of first opportunity. The gospel will go to them first, for them to receive or reject. And as they rejected it, Paul consistently and emphatically turned to the Gentiles. You have rejected it. You have demonstrated yourself to be unworthy of it. And so, I'm going to the Gentiles. Do you remember what Paul said to the Jews in Acts chapter 28? Paul was in Rome, in prison at that time, and he called the Jewish leaders to his prison location, his house guard, his house arrest, where he was under house arrest, and he gave to them the gospel, and they talked about it, and then he quoted from Isaiah the prophet. I'm reading Acts 28:25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. And what is that one word? Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. He's quoting now from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Verse 28 again. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And the Jews left, and Paul continued ministering from his hired house for 2 years, preaching, we read in verse 31, the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Well, that's a good example. That Paul did that in every city where he went, but he gave the gospel first to the Jews. He gave them first opportunity, first priority. And when they believed, he incorporated them into the church in that location, which was even now being formed out of Jew and Gentile. They couldn't continue to maintain a privileged position like they had as a separate privileged people under the old covenant. No, they had to be incorporated into the worldwide church of the Lord Jesus Christ of Jew and Gentile. And when they had believed the gospel, they, for the most part, understood that and didn't continue to have difficulty with it. And for those Jews who did not believe, upon them was pronounced judgment. You've rejected it for the final time. You and your forefathers have rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected, and God has continued to be long-suffering and patient and continued to give you a privileged position, but the time has come when God is going to turn the tenants out of the vineyard and give it to others. In the words of another parable of Christ speaking about this same thing. And with that, the door of privilege, the door of priority, the door of special opportunity to the Jews was closed, and closed forever. And whatever may have been their privilege in the past, and there was an indisputable, unarguable privilege for several hundred years, there is now, at this time, no difference between Jew and Gentile. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And the Jews have had their day of privilege, and that's gone. And now, they have the same privilege as anybody, any Gentile in the world, to believe the gospel and to be saved by it. To believe the gospel and thereby to be incorporated into the body of Christ as another member of that body. Just like any Gentile. Equal privilege, equal opportunity, but no priority any longer. That's what we see in Romans 1:16, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so until tomorrow at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, reminding you to write for our Sermon of the Month, number 12, and praying that God will give you His eternal peace.